It's time to get real with Mike Murphy. Take off the blinders and wake up to what is going on in the world. Mike is sharing unfiltered truth so you, the listener, can make your own decisions and cut through the noise of what mainstream media is saying. Mike is bringing you real news, real problems, real solutions, and real hope. Question everything. Open your mind, own your power, and get real now with Mike Murphy.
Welcome, everybody, to another version of Get Real Radio, and I'm your host, Mike Murphy. As I mentioned yesterday, you know, we're changing the format a little bit this week because I'm traveling up here in beautiful Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Right now, I'm looking at this beautiful, amazing lake and this beautiful nature up here. It's so surreal for me to know what's going on in the world and then to come up here and to go on the lake and boat and play golf with some great guys, see this beautiful nature, get this vitamin D sunshine, and realize that, you know, it's amazing, it's a beautiful place, but on one level, our world is falling apart. And so that's what we're going to get into today. So I've changed the format. We're so excited. We got so much response yesterday from the interview that I did with Jerry Powell. And so thank you for that. And please, if you like what we're doing, share it, tell your friends, keep tuning in. Our mission here is to wake people up to hopefully stop what looks like an attempt by some not too friendly people to turn us into slaves and ruin our lives. So that's the purpose of this show. And if you're new to the show, in episode one last week, I covered why I do this, who I am, and what I'm trying to accomplish. So if you want to know more, just tune into episode one. It's archived on Mike Murphy Unfiltered YouTube channel. We broadcast through Transformation Talk Radio. It's pushed out to Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, and all that stuff. So we're just glad to have you. So I'm not going to have a lot of news stories today, but there was one that popped up on my radar screen yesterday, and it was a judge. I think her name is Salas, and she was just given a new case with Deutsche Bank and Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein was involved in this case. I'm not sure how. And so anyways, a FedEx guy dressed up as a FedEx driver, shows up at her house, shoots her son, opens the door. Behind the son is her husband, who gets shot as well. She happened to be in the basement. So pretty suspicious, typical, if you will, deep state kind of move. But again, as they operate, the guy that did the shooting committed suicide. And turns out he was involved with this lady, but who really knows the truth? So anyways, we'll get into that maybe later. But if not, we got a great show planned for you. We have a special guest. His name is Jim Willey, and he's the editor of the Hat Trick Letter. And I've been a subscriber for probably 7, 8, 9, maybe even 10 years. And I've been listening to him in radio interviews for just as long. He's one of the most entertaining, interesting guys in the world. And I just finished reading his June, I didn't even finish, but reading his June newsletter, which he publishes every month. It's dirt cheap. I can't believe how inexpensive it is. It takes, if I really want to dive into it and really see what's going on, because he provides all these links, you know, it's just not a bunch of rambling. That, you know, it's all based on factual articles and other links and YouTube videos, kind of what I'm trying to do here. And if I really want to dig into it, it's all day to read it, check out all the links, but the wealth of information and the knowledge. And as a result of listening to him for all these years, you know, I've been able to put away a little gold and silver, which is today is spiking and I think is going to continue to spike. So we're going to get into all these subjects and I really encourage you to subscribe to Jim's newsletter. It can be found at golden-jackass.com. Like I said, I can't believe how inexpensive it is and how much value you get. So, Jim, welcome to the show.
Well, nice to be on your show. I check. Yeah, you're a multi-year subscriber, and I love guys like you. What I've noticed is that a lot of clients are multi-year, and it just surprised me. I call them one and done. I had a one and done recently, and I thought, oh gosh, that has not happened much. So I'm really happy, and you know, it does take a long time to digest and take in a whole report. We're living in extraordinary times, and I gotta warn people, you gotta get off your couch and you gotta get out of your home. wherever you see stay at home with a hashtag, that is part of the corruption. Mm-hmm. And in the Spanish world, they don't say stay at home. They say quédate en casa, remain yourself at home. And I usually say something like F you whenever I see it to my television. And you, separated but united, you know, kiss my ass. Really?
Right.
Really?
Right.
How about separated and we're going to be united after we ignore your stupid ass rules? Okay, I'm going to say something that I have now believed for over 2 months, did some research, checked this, checked that, saw no benefit. And my conclusion is every single rule is designed to be harmful. There are no exceptions.
Yeah.
They are all harmful.
Yeah.
I've been reading about some of the additional harmful effects from wearing a mask. I thought, okay, you know, less oxygen intake. Got bacteria all over the mask. Who washes his or her mask? Or do they change it every day? Do they change it every hour? Do they change it every 3 or 4 hours? Do they wash it? Do they use, you know, hand wash in the sink basin and so that tomorrow it's nice and fresh? Well, I got some advice. Take a little carpentry utensil knife and slit a long horizontal cut low and high. To make sure you can get air in there, because you don't want to get a reduced oxygen flow to your little brain. I have an insult that I tell certain people, and I'm quite rude. I say, hey, what a pretty mask you have. Que linda mascarilla. What a pretty mask you have. And they go, oh, thanks. I said, doesn't serve any purpose, but it sure is pretty. You know, it's a sign of stupidity. And they say, what? And I say, well, you're getting less oxygen to your brain. You're breathing your own bacteria. But that's okay about your brain because I'm sure you have a very tiny brain.
Yeah.
And I walk away.
So, I know that you think that the coronavirus is a hoax, and I agree with you 100%.
Yep.
And but what are the agendas behind it? We know that the economy really started to collapse in September when the repo market started to fall apart and the Fed had to intervene. So they're covering up that. We know about the Gates Event 201, that's a plandemic. What other agendas you think is behind this COVID-19 hoax?
The way I best describe it, I think, is to call it a parallel road by the good forces and the dark forces. They're on the same road, or you could say they're parallel to each other. But down the way, a couple months from here,
yeah,
there's a fork. So do we go left for Marxism, or do we go right for freedom?
Right.
Now, I can think of many reasons why each group is on this road. The good group, which, you know, I hate to include the big banks, but let's just give them a benefit of the doubt for a while here. Let's just say many different banks, including the largest, and I call them hollow reeds, JP Morgan, Citigroup. They're hollow reeds. They're big, tall structures that have no mass to them, no solvency whatsoever. They're casinos in disguise. Yeah. Okay, so you've got a lot of banks that were in trouble. Like, imagine all the banks, and there's some mid-sized banks in the shale sector lending crew.
Right.
Now, if they go down, is that a corona victim or is that a crude oil price victim? Very clearly the latter.
Yeah.
I have a forecast from a year ago where I said that the oil price is going to get down and plumb around 20 or 30 for lows, and it went negative.
Yeah.
The negative was a very strange phenomenon. It was right. Very quickly, they ran out of storage capacity because the supply got so big,
yeah,
and they had to do something about it. So the traders got wind of this, and they thought, well, let's just jump all over this. So they were selling the current month, and they figured, well, you know, September or June, that contract might have things resolved. So let's go short present and go long June. So you did not have a negative price for 6 months out.
Yeah.
You had the negative price for the present, which really screwed up everything. My point is that there are a lot of banks that are not victims of Corona, which is a completely planned and fabricated event. And they were, I think, encouraged, okay, climb on board because we've got a plan. It's kind of a force majeure, but it's not going to be really a relaxation of contract. It's just going to be one hell of a lot of stimulus. And I don't call it stimulus. I call it welfare. We're going to have some enormous relief packages. Enormous. And we're going to call it all, you know, Corona cares, whatever.
Right.
That's all the smokescreen. So I believe that there are a lot of good forces that were looking to get bailed out because the economy was for shit. And, you know, I don't buy any of this strong Trump economy story.
Right.
It's just absolute nonsense. I mean, all you got to do is take a look at the real data.
Yeah.
Take a look at, you know, a proper price inflation adjustment. Yep. and throw away the CPI.
Yep.
Take a look at the Chapwood CPI index, which was 8, 9, 10, 11%. Okay, the official one is 2 and 3.
Right.
So they're wrong by 6%, which
right.
means we're slower in the economy by 6%. We don't have any recovery.
Yeah.
The shadow.
Let me ask you this, because I think you and I are pretty similar. You know, we want to trust Trump. We want to believe, but we're very kind of skeptical. And see, when he was running, he was saying, hey, these numbers are BS, these unemployment, right? And then he gets in there, now he owns the numbers. Y'all are bragging about numbers that he said were bullshit.
Well, he flipped on everything. How about his call for the $1 trillion infrastructure plan during the campaign? And then he gets in there and he increases the military budget.
Yeah, and he was going to release 9/11 facts. He was going to release JFK facts. And what really bothers me about him is his closeness to Israel and moving, you know, the embassy to Jerusalem. And he's also pro-vaccination. I mean, so, you know,
No, he's not pro-vax.
He's got this Operation Warp Speed or whatever it is that, you know,
they
bought 150 million syringes or something.
No, I think it's a trap.
Okay, I hope so.
I think he's trying to trap big pharma. Okay, let me paint a story that is in support of Trump as being a true white hat.
Yep.
He knows what's in the vaccine. And if you want an example or want a glimpse at what was in the vaccine or what is in our planned vaccine from the Gates Foundation, take a look at Wuhan. Now, I don't know if you've got any good sources in Wuhan, China, but the lowest figures I'm hearing is 2 to 3 million dead.
Yeah.
The highest I'm hearing is 10 to 20 million dead. I think it was a live rehearsal where they activated with 5G at the cellular level, all the nanos and all the tiny, well, I don't like to call a metal a nano. I like to call something that's got some intelligence a nano, but you know, it's all nano. Nano just means nanometer.
And also, I think I read that you, prior to this event, they had a forced vaccination. And let's assume it was ID 2020. Exactly. Before the Wuhan event, all these people dying, they had done a forced vaccination in that city. And so my understanding of ID 2020 is basically going to hook us up to the cloud, you know?
Yeah, if they pull it off, and I don't think they will.
Okay,
so in Wuhan, they had all these, okay, I think it was 3 years ago or so, 2 years ago or so, maybe it was 8 years ago. I don't know exactly, but they had a SARS force national vaccination.
Right.
I don't have the exact year. Maybe somebody can help you out or maybe you know, but it was not in the 2008-09 framework. It was after they wanted to be prepared for the next.
Yeah.
I think it was around 2015. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
2015 or 16. Anyway, that set them up.
Yeah.
And it at the cellular level, it loaded their bodies in China with programmable, in a general sense, cell structure so that 5G activated and caused an internal explosion of internal harmless viruses. I hate to break it to people, but the current Corona test is a test of whether you're human.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was reading in your hat trick letter, I think it was a prison in Marion that came out like 87% positive.
92.
Okay, 92. But then you put this in light of the Professional Golfers Association that has done 6,000 tests with 21 positives. That tells you right there all this testing data is BS.
I think it's made-to-order testing.
Yeah.
Okay, but let me continue with the Wuhan story.
Okay.
I think Wuhan was a dressed rehearsal, a live run. And it was an absolute disaster, so bad the Chinese government had to arrest news reporters and had to bring down thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of social network messages because the area was trying to warn the rest of China, and China wanted to just wrap a cordon, you know, around it and quarantine the whole area and let them die and get on with it. Okay, that I believe is what they have planned for us. And now that I hate to call them the bad guys. It sounds like so silly. The cabal,
right.
The globalists are, I believe, actively tweaking their system. I got a message from a client yesterday. And he said, Jim, a couple months ago, a friend of mine in Eastern Europe took part in a voluntary vaccination, and he believes it was associated with, you know, Team Gates, okay? Mm-hmm. Who I believe is dead, by the way. Mm. This is a new Gates. There's so many doubles, it's incredible. Anyway, this guy in Eastern Europe, I don't know what country, you know, Czechoslovakia, Poland, Hungary, I don't know what country, but Eastern Europe. He said after he received the injection, within 2 minutes, they gave him a radiation zap. And he said, wait a minute, what's that for? And the nurse said, it's to activate the vaccine. Mm. There you have it. Okay,
yeah.
The zap was a close quarter simulation of the 5G that might be done on a mass scale. Okay, I don't, though, Mike, I don't think they're going to succeed. Look at all the horrendous press the Gates Foundation has received. Even in front of Congress, they took a lot of shit. Gates was given a lot of shit. And I was smiling the whole way thinking, oh, this guy's getting his reputation tarnished. Then it's tarnished. Then Robert Kennedy Jr. came out and just finished the deal.
Right.
He buried Gates.
Right. And I agree with you. And you in your newsletter, you talk about Italy wanting to prosecute him and other guys. But here's what bothers me about America. Everybody's wearing their damn mask and staying at home and afraid of each other. So I think America, for some reason, it's different here. People are more frightened for some reason. Better programming, perhaps. More propaganda.
Yes. The WHO last week shot themselves in the foot. They said, incredibly, 50% of all the recent cases in the last couple months are in the United States. Okay, between the lines, it's really simple. The major corruption in tests and in reported cases is the
reported deaths too. Reported deaths is skewed as well.
Yeah, but I think it's down.
No, I know, but in the beginning, you know, paid to put COVID.
Yeah,
everybody
yeah.
had COVID. Yeah.
Oh gosh, my personal cases, Mike. Let me recite them. A friend's father died of a derrame. What do you call it? A stroke.
Okay.
Another friend had an uncle who died of a heart attack. Another client had a friend who died of a car accident. A client had a friend who died of a drug overdose. A client had a friend of a friend who died of a gunshot wound. They're all called Corona.
Yeah. Crazy.
Now, I've got a family, an extended family member who had a stroke 2 years ago and was in a nursing home. And here's the critical question. Did Lenore have symptoms before they gave her a test that proved positive?
Right.
I cannot get an answer. They don't want to reply, Mike, because they don't want me to launch off on the accusation that Lenore was murdered.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I really don't think they're going to succeed. I want to get back to this theme because it's so powerful and important.
Do it.
The Trump is on record. It's like 80 messages. There will be no forced vaccination in the United States. It would be voluntary. got, okay, I've got a theory on the voluntary. If they have a volunteer, like Vanderbilt University just announced that it's going to participate in a major trial for the corona vaccine, which is an amazing concept because they've never isolated it.
Right.
How do you have a vaccine for something that's not isolated?
Exactly.
Oh, come on. That's like saying we're going to do a test repair of a Mercedes Benz, but it hasn't been built yet. Right. Oh, really? Okay. That's interesting. You know, get out of my face. Okay. I'm so sick of this. What I think might happen is the Gates Foundation will come up with a harmless vaccine that won't have much in the way of a vaccination component to it, but maybe have some kind of a general influenza, anti-influenza element to it. And it'll be largely successful and some people will, you know, remain healthy and nobody dies. But for the mass case, they're going to bring out the poison and the cocktail. I think we're going to have, okay, here's what I think the worst case scenario. They're going to say, all right, we've got a vaccine ready. We've had some trials. They're all successful without giving us any data.
Right.
And we're going to roll this out and it'll be voluntary. So maybe 10% of the population signed up. By the way, of the United States population, recent polls have said 50% do not want it. In Canada, 79% do not want it.
Okay.
So they're less frightened up there. Okay. So then after the first wave, there are sicknesses and there are coma cases.
Yeah.
I heard that out of 25, I heard this from a very reliable fellow. He said, Jim, out of 25 recent Gates corona vaccine trials, 12 went into a coma within 24 hours.
Wow.
They can't have that happen. So what they might do is they bring it out and a lot of bad things happen and they blame it on something else.
Right.
They come up with a new scourge like Ebola.
Exactly.
Or this bubonic plague in Colorado.
Exactly. The guy in China and the squirrel in Colorado. Right.
And that will facilitate their order. We need far more volunteers. We don't want this to be mandatory, but we have a goal for 90% volunteer. And that's how they work toward 100. That's right. My fear.
Yeah.
In little Costa Rica, they've got a constitutional clause, no mandatory vaccines.
Well, good. Good for them. Let me ask you this. I was with a friend of mine over dinner last night and telling her a little bit about you and you're going to be on and what have you. And she said, what do I do with all my cash? Green money in the bank. What? I know you can't give financial advice, but if it was you, if you had a bunch of $1 million sitting in the bank, what would you do with it right now, cash?
I'd buy as much silver coins as I could,
yeah.
And I'd pay any premium required.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got some news for people, and it's more like my interpretation, and it's really cold water in the face. If they tell you that this was a month ago, when the price was 17, 18, if they require you to pay 23, pay 23, because that's the fair price.
Yeah.
But don't sell because you're not going to get a fair price on a sale.
Yeah.
If they tell you in a month that it's 25, pay 25 because you're not going to see that price again.
Right. Yeah.
It's a matter of paying up, but it's really not paying up. What you're doing is you're paying the extra portion that reveals the lie of the COMEX.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Pay whatever is required to get it in your hot little hands.
Yeah.
And shut up about it.
Yeah, I'm with
Feel
you.
Sorry for the people who have like medical bills or they ran out of cash and they got to sell, you know, 2 or 3 gold coins every month just to make ends meet. Feel sorry for them because they're not going to get a fair price.
Yeah.
What I think is coming, I love to add this little point. It's my own little unique point. I think what's coming is an intermediary market where a bunch of people are going to say, let's just say the silver price is 21, but the premium makes it 27.
Yeah.
Someone's going to come in there and say, I'm going to offer you 23 for that, yeah, for a lot of your coins. Don't go to the dealers and get 21. I'll offer you 23 because it's costing 27 now. In other words, the fair price is 27.
Yeah.
And they're going to split the wide bid-ask spread.
Yep.
And that intermediary is then going to take all their silver purchases and go to the dealers to make sure that they have it.
Yep.
And they're going to sell it at the 27 fair price. And it's not an inflated price. It's the fair price. Yeah. The fair price is what you pay to get it. Yeah. It's really that simple, and quit bitching and moaning about it. Yeah. All you're doing is complaining for the person who's forced, coerced, stuck in the corner, who's got to sell.
Yeah. How about gold? So let's say you got $1 million. How would you buy some gold and mostly silver, or how would you? Because you know silver is a pain in the ass to take physical possession of because it's so heavy. And you know, if you same dollar amount or gold, you know, same amount of money, they just have a little bit of gold. So what's your take on gold right now?
I'd go 80% silver, 20% okay. gold on a dollar volume basis, yeah. and quit moaning about how heavy it is. Maybe go to the gym a little more often, or hire a couple of young kids to move those buckets into your truck.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You're not going to be complaining too much in a few years when you've got triple the gains of what gold had.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. Here's kind of a common sense rule of thumb. We've been playing at the 90 to 110 gold silver ratio for a long time. We're going back to 30.
Okay.
Back to 30 or 35. What does that mean? The gains for silver will be triple those for gold.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care that you can put, you know, $100,000 into a small attaché case in gold. I don't care.
Right.
If I need to rent a car to put $100,000 worth of silver in it with bars, then fine. I might hire a young kid and I'll tell him it's all lead that I'm going to put on my ship for ballast so he doesn't steal it.
Do you have an opinion, say, like a 1,000-ounce bar of silver versus silver eagles or silver?
I like coins, but you know, it's really a matter of personal preference and artistic viewpoint. When I was a paper boy, and okay, you can imagine little Jimmy and my brother John, I was 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 years old. I was a paper boy. And what we would do, you can imagine all the change we would get. All right, hello, Mrs. McIntyre, you owe 87 cents for the last 2 weeks. Okay, it's a lot of change. I used to get a little dispenser after a couple of years to load it up with quarters, nickels, dimes, no pennies. We had a lot of coins. So my first task back then was to get all the 1950s half dollars. And I got almost all of them just from the change of from my collection. And, you know, then I got a bunch of Roosevelt dimes, the older ones, the Mercury dimes. Yep. I even got Buffalo nickels. So we got a big bunch. I had a bag of Buffalo nickels after a few years. But we went further. We went to the bank and we said, I got $5. Can I have a roll of dimes? Or I've got $20. Can I have a roll of half dollars? And I completed my Franklin half dollar set. My point is that I enjoyed the coins.
Yeah, okay.
And I recently-
You have an emotional attachment to coins.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's fun. And it's interesting. I've got, not the S, but I got the VDB penny, the 1909 VDB, not the S.
Yeah.
I've got that in a collection. I've got a friend and we bought an estate sale at a huge discount. A bunch of coins, paid several thousand for it, and realized later the discount is even bigger than you said. It's not 20%, it's more like 40. And he said, yeah, I didn't want to scare you by telling you it was 40%, and I didn't want to tell the truth to my uncle's wife. Okay, so anyway, I think one of the coolest coins in the world is the old Morgan silver dollar. I think it's a major item. You can get a roll of 20 of them. I got bunches of them.
Yeah.
they're going to be a collector's item. They're going to be a product to move. Like I've got $100,000 worth of these Morgan silver dollars, and you know it's like, you know, 80, 100, 120 little packets, right. And you just, you know, shove them. They're going to be a standard unit. And I know that there's standard units in gold. You got the Krugerrand, you got the Maple Leaf, you got the Panda, you got the one of my favorite. This is just taste.
Right.
It's the Vienna Philharmonic. What a great concept for a coin. Yeah. We got our own gold eagles and silver eagles. They got the Maple Leafs in Canada. Those are cool. I like the bullion coins, but I also like the old 120-year-old Morgan Halfdan. It's a matter of taste, but I tell you, the bulk of my wealth I would put in those big bars.
Okay. So get out of the dollar. Now, I know for a long time you've been talking about the end of the dollar being the global currency, and we're going to have a shice dollar. And I think you're probably as surprised as anybody how long they've been able to kick this can down the road, right? But it seems to me it's what you've been saying for a long time is right around the corner. How do you see that?
I think we're already starting to see the digital sovereign currencies. We've had announced the digital yuan. I get corrected by Chinese clients. It's really funny. It's yuan.
Yuan. I say RMB just to be.
Yeah, I know. Me too. But when I try to pronounce it correctly, but honestly, I don't care. The yuan. We're getting and leading into that. This is a very important point. You don't just say, "Hey, we launched a digital currency. It's going to be, honored throughout all transactions and debts, public and private, blah, blah, blah." Oh, no, you can't do that. The first thing you need to do is have a conference to get the rules down. And then you have a bunch of signatories to see who participates. So it's participants and rules. And without them, you're going nowhere.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to say, well, that's an interesting concept, but I'm not going to use it because I don't know what the rules are. And I'm not going to buy it and participate and get some money invested in it because I don't know who's going to accept it and trade. You got to get the rules. You got to get the participant. China just did that with China, Japan, and South Korea. And I thought that it was quite interesting that they didn't invite, Taiwan. Obviously, I know why. But there's a whole lot more to Asia than China, Japan, and South Korea. You got Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand. Those are all major players.
Vietnam
is just rising, and yeah. Man, we did them a favor by leaving town because they became a capitalist nation, and we haven't been capitalist. Oh gosh, there's a Ron Paul quote. He said, "Capitalism, we haven't had capitalism for 25 years."
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, here, Italy just had a conference for the procedures, the rules, and I think that once they emerge from that, you're going to hear, well, Austria will honor that. Hungary will honor that. Greece will honor that. France, Spain will honor that. And then you get the participants. So rules and participants. Here's my call. We're going to see 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 different digital currencies where the rules will be largely the same, but not exactly the same. And the participants will initially be their regional neighbors. But the United States will be last.
Yeah.
And why? Because we're the most corrupt.
Okay. And it's becoming well known throughout the world now. You know, we used to be the greatest, pound our chest. And the rest of the world say BS on that. You've been exposed. You are the problem in the world.
Why do you think that the de-dollarization movement started right after the Ukraine war that we triggered?
Exactly.
It was the United States and Israel that did that. The security forces and the men in uniforms without the markings, how you describe a Langley soldier.
Right. Right.
Okay, let me continue on this point because it's very important.
Okay.
The United States will be last for a digital dollar. Two things are going to happen. The digital sovereign currencies are going to eclipse the cryptocurrencies because they are sovereign sponsored.
Yeah, yeah.
But that won't mean that the cryptocurrencies will go away. It means that the functional ones, that the ones that have a role like a token does, a utility, they're going to fly. They're going to do very well. But the ones that operate like cash, like say Bitcoin, they're going to go nowhere. The second important point is that the United States will have a digital dollar and it'll be the most tarnished, corrupt, and sullied of all.
Yeah.
And it will be exposed. Here's where the crimes will. These are not just simple fraud elements. This is going to be a repetition of fraud on a very deep level with a lot of eyes watching because we've captured a tremendous amount of attention with our colossal fraud since 9/11. And Lehman only was a climax bump in the road. And after that came QE and, you know, the repo madness. Here's where the criminality will be made known and identified and spotlights. Where's the independent audit going to be for the gold that backs the digital dollar?
Right.
My guess is it'll be Fort Knox, which is loaded with tungsten bars that happen to have a gold cladding for, I'm told it's like 3 millimeters. Okay. And you can't say, you can't say plated. You cannot use the word plated. I've got a couple chemists, and one of them's a buddy of mine. He's in New Mexico. He's a great guy. And if he listens to this, he'll know who he is, Mr. Featherman. Anyway, he told me, Jim, the electroplating process does not work with tungsten and gold. It doesn't work. It's a cladding. It's like a coat.
Like a painting, like they painted on there.
Yeah, exactly. Electroplating is an electrolytic process at the chemical level. You know, just think of chromium on your bumper. Yeah. That's not painted on. That is like melded on.
Like immersed
in. Immersed in the metal. And yeah. Just like weaving in the metal. Okay. So the first crime will be the independent audit will be tarnished. And here's how I think it'll be played out. Foreigners will say, we want some independent audit. And the United States government will say, well, yeah, we've got that agency right there. They just did the audit. Here's a report. And the other countries say, that's bullshit. We want a different independent audit. And the United States said, no, it's the only one we permit. Right. Okay, other form of criminality. Where's it being held? The United States won't reveal where it's going to be held because they don't want anyone snooping around. And they're going to have like musical boxes and chairs. Where's the United States gold? Is it deep storage gold, which is a farce? Anyone who thinks that the Grand Canyon is going to be the backing for the dollar has got rocks in his head. So it's going to be shifting location of the gold. Independent audit's going to be screwball. The location will indicate the fraud in the custodian role. Custodian and audit is what makes the game true in the gold industry. And then you're going to get arguments like, well, you know, we can't even verify that you got 3 nines or 5 nines in your purity for your U.S.-backed gold. And the answer is going to be, well, it's more like about, you know, 2% because it's just tungsten. Okay, we're going to get so much flack, it's going to be a comedy. And then the United States must retract and say, oops, we're going to make this right. And they'll find a different way to lie.
Yeah.
And here's why. We don't have the luxury of telling the truth or being honest brokers in the digital gold market because we have a gigantic trade deficit. Now, Trump campaigned on the $1 trillion infrastructure program. Yeah. Now, that's not industry, it's structure. It's like highways and fiber optic and telecom and towers and, you know, satellite telemetry and all this various stuff, robotics. But we've got to get down to brass tacks with several tens of thousands of new businesses so that we can eliminate the trade deficit before we go on the gold standard. Now here, remember I mentioned that we're on the parallel path, the same as the bad guys, the banker cabal. Well, here's the good end of the road with a fork right into liberty instead of, you know, left as Marxist. We are on a mass scale destroying businesses now. Is that not what happens when you turn the soil over for a vegetable garden? You kill all that greenery and you put in some nutrients and you put in some water and you put in some fertilizer. And before you know it, you got carrots, onions, and red peppers growing. Okay, we've got to get the carrots, onions, and red peppers in fertile soil. And I know it's kind of a tough pill to swallow whole, but we need to do away with a lot of industries to free up the labor. And I think it's going to be a very difficult balancing act because I'm not really impressed with the American labor market. I've been around the block in my 26 years in industry, and I saw the shortage of labor talent. I saw how we brought in Indians and British and Germans into a computer company. I saw how we brought in Indian accountants into Staples. I thought, wow, didn't expect to see that. Yeah. A whole group of like 8 or 9 good accountants, yeah, working with everybody else, good solid English. I eventually had lunch with a bunch of them, no problem. They're all men though, strangely, all men. Okay, I'm not impressed with our labor market. I think that we're gonna have a very tough time balancing the budget, I'm sorry, the trade deficit. And that is gonna be a prerequisite for going on a gold standard. Without that, okay, just some simple numbers. This was back when gold was around 13,000. So I'll adapt my numbers. If we have
1300,
right. If we had, when we had a trade deficit of a little over a trillion, the 1300 price translated to about 13,000 tons. So here we are now at about 1700. So think of it as maybe about 1,000 or 1100 tons, yeah, of gold forfeited every year. I'm sorry, not 1,000, 10,000 or 11,000 tons.
Gone.
Sorry about that. Before it was around 13,000 tons at the 1300 gold price. Yeah. We're higher now on the gold price. So it wouldn't be 13,000, it'd be about 11,000 tons a year that we would forfeit.
Right.
That is a grand cause to defraud on the system.
Yeah.
Not to steal the gold, but to lie about what our gold bars contain.
Right.
We're not ready for a gold standard. We're going to be last.
So the right, what I'm hearing you say is China and these other countries, Russia, they're ready to already do this. They can do an electronic currency backed by gold. United States can't because all of our gold's been stolen.
Well, it's been stolen, but it's kind of, some of it, maybe much of it, is waiting in the wings.
Okay.
And it's not going to come to the table, I believe, until we resolve the trade deficit. Okay. Until we, for instance,
Trump was smart enough to identify this, and that's what he's been working on. As the other presidents, past presidents, were making a deeper and deeper hole for us.
I think Trump doesn't tell us 2/3 of what he's doing.
Okay.
And let me go further. I think he, like many in the past, is kind of a White House spokesman. Yeah. The power lies behind him.
Okay.
And I believe it's in the queue. Like 10 different people.
Yeah.
And Scalia was one of them, and he got murdered.
Yeah.
So they had to replace him. He got murdered because he was outed. We don't have the luxury of telling what we're doing because the tasks are so incredibly formidable. We're trying to clean out a very dirty system where I believe almost half of the power brokers are murderers. And that's a pretty tough statement to say and to hear.
And you were on when I had that opening news story. Are you familiar with the Salas gal and all that? I mean, that's how they operate, right?
Yeah, you know, I had a death threat and it changed me. So I studied a little bit the death threat. I got a death threat for writing about the Nazi playbook that was used for 9/11. The invisible army of the, you know, the terrorists.
Yep, yep. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. They 19 Saudis with box cutters did,
yeah,
all that damage.
Well, yeah, the tens of thousands attacked the United States in the following decade.
Right.
Yeah, right. I also got a death threat when I went on stage in Germany and I talked about 9/11 being a fascist exercise. I got 2 death threats and they changed me. But what I've come to learn about killings, hired killings, is that they come when there's a breakdown in the rules of engagement. They will kill their own.
Yeah.
For instance, if somebody is given a second break, okay, we're going to give you a second break and now you're kind of on probation and you're a cabal type. We're going to lower your rank and we're going to lower your level of responsibilities. And, you know, to cut your teeth in this new role, we want you to move like 5 billion at a time and cross borders with bearer bonds. But if the rules are violated, like they, you know, they took an extra week off to enjoy the sights of Switzerland, or they kept, say, half a billion in the bearer bonds and didn't deliver them all,
right,
they're murdered. Right. Now, here's some hints on murders. If you see that it was a very clean kill and extremely likely that it was suicide, you could buy the story. You could hear it. You could sell it. You could buy it. That's probably a Vatican murder.
Yeah.
Or a CIA murder. Or an MI6.
When you say Vatican, I think you mean Jesuit, because they're kind of the arm of the Vatican that does it.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue with you. If you see a sloppy murder, like somebody thrown out of a window at the 27th floor in the Canary Wharf of London.
Yeah.
Or you see a guy thrown out of a window in Hong Kong, or you see a guy who shot twice in the back of the head and they still call it suicide.
Killed himself six times with a nail gun.
He's got several nails in his skull from a nail gun. That's Russian.
Okay.
Okay. So that's how you distinguish them. It's not entirely that simple, but when you started, remember about 5 or 6 years ago, there were a number of London murders?
Yep.
That was all Russian.
Okay.
And I dug into that, and the voice helped me understand more about that. He told me, Jim, it was from mismanaged Russian oligarch money that was hidden. Not necessarily dirty money, but money they didn't want to be seen. So they moved it to London to invest, and they did badly with it and maybe got involved with derivatives and lost a big piece of it. And then they had to pay the consequence by taking a flying lesson out of the 37th floor without a parachute. And they ended up a big splat. And that's a mess. The Russians like that.
Yeah.
They say, that's us. Yeah, that's us. Don't mess with us.
Right.
Okay. So the murders are all over the place. I don't actually remember what the case was. For this murder that you cited, what was the legal case? What was the incident?
It has to do with the Deutsche Bank case, I think. She just got the case. Deutsche Bank, and somehow Epstein's involved in it. I'm not 100% what the case is about.
Oh, okay. All right. So it was something where Epstein was given more sunlight than
they
wanted.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay. So this is a message. It could very well be a Mossad hit.
Yeah.
That's my guess. I call them the M boys.
Yeah.
We got the Z boys, you got the M boys. And you got the MI boys. The M boys are from that little country in the southeast corner of the Mediterranean, whose name I never like to talk about.
Right.
That was the location of my second death threat. Okay. The first death threat was Swiss bankers. The second one was the M boys.
Yeah.
They don't like to be crossed. They don't like to be exposed, and the consequence is usually somebody's killed. And you know, it's not just the principal player getting killed. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. had his, I believe, his niece murdered. I'm not sure. It might have been a granddaughter also murdered. There were two, and I don't have all the facts, but it was someone in the extended direct family, and that was because he crossed the syndicate for Big Pharma.
Okay.
I'd like to make a statement, and the statement goes like this: all the players that are working together in a grand collusion to create this hysteria about a virus that's less lethal than SARS and less lethal than the standard frickin' flu, they're all Satanists.
Yep.
They're all extension of influence from Rockefeller, who is an avowed Satanist. back in, I did a special report about 3 or 4 years ago for the Hattrick Letter. And in it, it was devoted to the Rockefeller influence in the medical and pharmaceutical industries. Back in the 1950s, they began their influence to remove natural remedies from the medical prescriptions and, oh, just think of it as their shelf, their medicine cabinet. For instance, turmeric is excellent powder. It comes in root form, made into a powder, and it's great for inflammation. You will not find an AMA doctor who ever prescribes it. Exactly. But I've got a client, this is a funny story. I've got a client in South Florida. He had a severe inflammation problem with his knee and hip. He went to one doctor, got a standard big pharma useless drug, didn't work. Went to another doctor, got the same, didn't work. Went to a third doctor, and the doctor actually said to him, well, you pretty much tried what we have to offer and it didn't work. So I suggest you look for something else. Look for something else that's not standard. And the doctor followed him out to the parking lot and said, try turmeric. I can't talk about it in my office because what I say, he didn't say it's bug. He said, what I say, what I recommend is understood and can be heard.
You know, I'll give you another story, give the audience another story too. My late wife was diagnosed with breast cancer at 29. And we did traditional medicine at first until we woke up, wised up. But she went to our oncologist one time. She said, I'd like to get a vitamin C infusions. He can't even give a vitamin C infusion. It's chemo, radiation, or surgery. That's the only bullets in their gun or they lose their license. That, I mean, so what you're saying, I know from personal facts, is so true.
I got two stories there. One has to do with the price markup. Yeah. And the other has to do with the Cancer Institute.
Yeah.
Okay. I like to take notes because I'm noticing something, Mike. In the last few weeks, I get on a tangent and I forget my second point. I don't think it's age. I think it's just enthusiasm.
You're exactly.
I'm psyched. I tell them, and then they embellish a little more. What was my second point? Okay, here they are. I got this from somebody with direct experience in the pharmaceutical industry. He said, Jim, take a guess how much it costs a big pharma company to produce the drugs for chemotherapy, just the drugs, that they charge $70,000 for. And I said, I don't know. I'm guessing like 10 grand. He said, nope. $70,000, it costs them $70,000.
Yeah.
It's a 1,000-to-1 markup.
Insane.
Okay, here's the second story. About 6 years ago, it's hard to date, you know, hard to date everything, but it wasn't a couple of years ago. It wasn't way back when I first moved here. I've been here a few years. Somebody wrote to me and said, Jim, I like your newsletter. I want to give you a story. It's true, it's gonna curl your ears. It'll curl your ears, but only in the details, because this is real live stuff. Because I think you are aware. I heard on an interview where you claimed that cancer has cures and they could do a lot more in the treatments and cures and really bring the price down. I said, okay, well, what is it? Before I mention that, let me just say I know a fellow in, let's just say, the Southeast. A city in the Southeast U.S., and he was successfully treating cancer patients by denying all the carbohydrates. No bread, no pasta, no rice, and watch those sugary soda pop drinks. And it was amazing the results he had. He got his office burned down. Yeah. Office burned down. And he said, I know somebody else who got his office burned down, also in the Southeast, different city, same sort of holistic. Holistic just means natural. Yeah. Okay, back to my client, Los Angeles, John Wayne Cancer Institute. He said, Jim, I was the IT guy, information tech guy. He said, what I did was I delivered little discs, you know, like CD-ROMs. And I delivered the discs to the various doctors, and there are dozens of them.
Jim, let me interrupt 1 second, because we only got 1 minute. And you've been gracious enough to say that you'll come back on tomorrow. And I hope the audience enjoys listening to Jim Willie as much as I do and have for the past 10 years. So we're going to finish that story when we get on tomorrow. I really want to hear the end of it. I also want to hear your opinion of, we have a something going on in November in this country called Trump versus Biden. So I want to hear that.
Which Biden?
Yeah, well, the one that they got hiding in the basement and wearing his mask. And then you also got some very interesting, I've covered about 5% of your newsletter. So folks, I really encourage you to go to golden-jackass.com. Subscribe to the Hat Trick Letter. It is dirt. I think it's only $110 a year. Is that correct?
No, $110 for 6 months, Mike.
Okay, $110 for 6 months.
It's not dirt cheap. It's on the low end.
I subscribe to a lot of them, and what you give is dirt cheap. Believe me.
Okay.
It must take you an enormous amount of time to do every month. So I appreciate
about 10 or 12 days.
And you added on an extra bonus this month for the health with the coronavirus.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing that on a regular basis now.
This man really cares about what's going on, and he'll give you extra value, added value all the time. So it's just been a joy to have you on. I'm so excited you're going to come back tomorrow. And folks, I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have. Like I said, I've been listening to this gentleman for 10 years, and you the enthusiasm and the knowledge and the research and the effort that he puts into this. I don't think there's anybody else like him out there right now. So Jim, thanks for being here. I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. And folks, if you have any questions for Jim from tomorrow's show, email me mike@mikemurphyunfiltered.com and I'll be sure and ask him.
One of the nicest compliments I get, Mike, is I got a lot of different points to make, a lot of facts, but I tie it all together very well.
Exactly.
I love hearing that.
And I thank you for that. So folks, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Get Real with Mike Murphy. We all need to wake up before it's too late. Learn to question everything, open your mind, and own your power. For more information on Mike and his work, visit MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.